Now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Testing, testing, check, check, check.
Hello there, this is funny lady Judith Lucy.
Hi, this is Joel Creasy.
Hey, this is Fiona O'Loughlin.
Hi guys, McLaughlin here, that would be of the Craig variety.
Hi, this is Shayna Blaze.
Hello, this is Tom Ballard.
Hi, this is Melissa Cap.
G'day, this is ScoMo, Scott Morrison.
Hi, this is Reece Nicholson.
Hi, it's Gina Liano from The Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Hi, this is Reece Mastin.
Hi, this is JC Fox.
This is Kathy Griffin.
Hey, this is Todd Collins.
Hello, this is Weird Al Yankovic.
Hello everybody, it's Omar Rudberg and you're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
Troy Murphy laughing at me in the other studio. Oh, he's dancing to my radio vet. Hello, Troy.
The last couple of shows I've listened to The Troy Murphy Show, I've nearly had a couple of accidents because my eyes have been watering with laughter so much.
Is it me? Am I the problem? Surely I can't be the only one that thinks that the world is going bananas. With doctors last summer claiming the term morbidly obese to be ditched. Look, I understand morbidly obese is not a glamorous term, but unlike the morbidly obese lifestyle, one should not have to sugarcoat everything to explain that it's problematic.
He's ready for his close-up. It's the Troy Murphy Show.
Ladies, gentlemen, them, they, and all, plus the people who are hate listening this week, welcome to the Troy Murphy Show. I'm, of course, your host, Troy Murphy, and this, as the name suggests, is indeed, in fact, righteously so, is the Troy Murphy Show. Yes, it's that glorious time of the week again, Thursday nights from 7 p.m, where the Troy Murphy Show graces the Troubles Out bandwidth and airwaves for an exciting adventure of talk till 8 p.m, covering everything from the serious news to the weird, wacky, wonderful news. It's where celebrities stop by for a chat and people far smarter than I join us to talk topics that need expert opinions on. And of course, the Troy Murphy Show house band, well, they're in the studios for antics and songs all night long. A big thank you to BJ and Grossy, plus the one and only legendary Gossip Girl, who, let's be honest, she carries the show. And I say that with bias because I'm Gossip Girl's number one fan. Thank you, team, for kicking off Thursday Drive as we now enter into 2SSR After Dark. On the show tonight, it's a huge one. We are going to chat International Kissing Day. Yes, it is International Kissing Day today, and we celebrate it by chatting with relationship and body language expert Katia Lozell. She's going to tell us all the to-dos and the to-don'ts of kissing. We'll take a look at the serious and the weird, wacky, wonderful news that broke this week, as well as the referendum for the voice to parliament. It has begun. And the yes vote, well, they've tripped first out of the gate. We'll discuss that in depth tonight, as well as the Troy Murphy Show's new game. Fun stuff at the front, serious stuff at the back. Yes, it's a game where we've dissected a pop culture song. 30 seconds of a pop culture song we've dissected into instrumental layers, and we will play one layer at a time, and it's up to you playing at home to guess that song before it is revealed. But first, you know, you learn something new every day. Keeping up with the young people and their vernacular, the latest term doing the rounds on social media is the term sprinkle sprinkle. I had no idea what that means. I'm thinking maybe it's that hundreds and thousands that we put on bread or donuts or whatever it is. Well, according to Urban Dictionary, it's the new slay. Remember that? Oh, what a punish of a term. The expression is used across various social media platforms and across entertainment media. The term is widely used within the LGBTQI+ community, as well as the drag community, when referring to an impressive performance or appearance. Look, I'm okay with sprinkle, sprinkle. I hated slay, and anything to replace it, I support it. What a random start to the show. With that, let's dive headfirst into this week's show without any safety gear on, of course, because that's how we do things here on the show, responsibly. Don't try this at home.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7pm Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
It's the Troy Murphy Show, where, as promised, we've got the fun stuff at the front. And as part of our fun stuff promise, oh, I like this, we're playing Guess That Song, where we've grabbed 30 seconds of a pop music song from, well, any era, any genre, so from 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s to now. And the house band, the Troy Murphy Show house band, the Diddley Squats, are in the house. And what we've done is we've deconstructed the song. So it is just instrumental layers. And what the band will do is, as part of that 30-second clip of the song, we'll play a layer of instrument at a time. So it'll be drum first, and then drum and percussion. Then for this song, drum, percussion, and bass. And we'll continue to play each layer, each instrument, until you playing along at home either guess the song or, well, what's going to happen at the end is the song will be given away when the house band actually sing the song. All right, I know that was a little bit of a long introduction to explain the rules of the game. It's really simple. If you haven't worked out the rules yet, that's either my bad explaining or you'll pick it up as we go along. All right, so we've got our 30-second clip of our deconstructed song that the house band, the Diddley Squats, are going to play for us. Let's have it, house band. Let's hear the drums. All right. Can you guess the song based just on the drums? I don't know. It's a little bit difficult. All right, all right, all right. So we've heard the drums. All right, band, let's have drums and percussion. Okay, song's taking shape. But is it enough to give away the song? I don't know, I don't know. All right, let's have some drum, percussion, and bass. Drum, percussion, and bass, please. House band. Take a listen. I don't know, 100 points if you can guess the song by now. And if you can guess the song, hit us up on the Troy Murphy Show Facebook page, send us a message, search the Troy Murphy Show, and click message button. All right, let's have drum, percussion, bass, and electric guitar, please, house band. That could give it away. That could give it away for some people. Okay, house band, let's have drum, percussion, bass, electric guitar, along with piano and organ. Two types of piano. Oh, that's got to give it away. Have you guessed it? Okay, house band. We've only got one more instrumental layer to add before we reveal the vocals. and, well, the actual song itself. Okay, house band, let's have some drum, percussion, bass, electric guitar, piano and organ. And what the band tell me is the, well, they call this the Celesta and Vibes. Can you guess the Troy Murphy Show's Guess That Song this week based on the music alone? Gotta have guessed it by now. All right, if you haven't, well, we're about to give it away. House band, let's have the song and please sing along with it. Did you guess?
Dancing in the moonlight.
Troy Murphy Show's house band cover from the classic song by Top Loader. Oh, I love it. Thank you, house band. Actually, you know what, house band? Keep those instruments raised and let's have the full song. The Troy Murphy Show house band, the Diddley Squats, in the studio playing Dancing in the Moonlight as part of this week's Guess That Song.
We can get it almost every night. When that
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
It seems today that all you hear is music on the radio and murder on podcasts. But where are those good old-fashioned talk shows on which we used to rely? Lucky there's a Troy Murphy Show. Lucky there's a man who positively can do all the things that make us tune in live.
TWSR can help you promote your business with an innovative and inexpensive marketing plan. Our in-house team will help you design a campaign, voice the audio, and give it the professional production values you need. To find out more, call us on 9545 1800 or email info@2wsr.com.au to organise a talk with our experienced marketing team.
Hi, it's Kale. Hope you can join me for Friday Night Live every Friday from 7 to 9pm for a mix of pop and indie music, interviews with interesting people, and all the music and entertainment news from the Shire, Sydney and beyond. Friday Night Live, 7 p.m. on 2SSR 99.7 FM. I'll see you there.
Now for your 2SSR 4-day weather watch.
All right, let's do that official stuff that we've got to tick off on our little playlist checklist here, and that's do the 4-day weather watch. Tomorrow, Friday, it's gonna be yuck. Partly cloudy, medium chance of showers. So more than one, most likely in the morning. Winds north to northwesterly, 15 kilometres per hour, tending west to northwesterly, 20 to 30 kilometres per hour in the middle of the day, then becoming light in the evening. So wet and windy. Tops of 18 and a low of 10. The weekend, mostly sunny on Saturday, max temperatures reaching 17 and a low of 7. Sunday will be winter divine with top temps of 21 degrees and a low of 9 with sunshine all day. And for my birthday next week, Monday, max temp of 19 and a low of 8 with sunshine. That's your weather update. Back to the show.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
Look, you know, we haven't done this on the show in a while, and that's our favourite little segment called Celebration of the Day, where every day is a celebration, and today, Thursday, the 22nd of June, is no different. There is something to celebrate every day, and today we celebrate National Kissing Day. Yes, that's right. When lips meet and hearts flutter, the world feels like it's spinning in slow motion, and for a moment, nothing else matters when you're kissing someone else. Of course, with consent. Now, a little bit of history about National Kissing Day. The first record of kissing was in 1500 BC, before Christ. Yep, Vedic Sanskrit scriptures, which are foundational to the Hindu religion, hold the earliest mention of kissing in human history. Yes. In 1595, Romeo and Juliet's famous kiss is written. In 1896, the first kissing scene is released on film. And in 1973, the band Kiss gets its start. And as we speak National Kissing Day, as always here on the show, we love to get experts in to talk about topics that I know, well, I'm not going to say nothing about, because I know a little bit about kissing. You know, I have kissed before, but I'm not an expert, so we've got an expert in. Katia, welcome to the program, my friend.
Hello. And I love this topic. What's not to love about kissing? Let's be honest.
That's right. Now, Katia, you're a relationship and body language expert. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Tell me about kissing. Are there do's and don'ts? What makes a good kisser? What makes a bad kisser?
This is the interesting thing. A good kiss for one person might be a kissing turnoff for the next. Because you see, there's a lot more to kissing than most people think. Most people think, yes, you know, you're dating and you pucker up, and then maybe if you've been in a long-term relationship after 20 years, maybe that's usually one of the first things to go in long-term relationships, actually. But actually, you know, research shows that kissing is a central smorgasbord that activates all five of our senses and actually sends a direct signal to our emotional brain or limbic central centers associated with love, lust, and passion. And it actually provides this sensory exchange of information and nonverbal cues about your partner, you know, their genetics, their compatibility, their stress levels, their health even the health of their teeth. And, you know, sometimes depending on the type of kiss, whether or not they're in it for a short time or a long time. So there's a lot of clues and information we get from kissing, and also it releases this chemical cocktail of neurotransmitters and hormones, you know, serotonin, oxytocin, norepinephrine, that can, and you know, triggers the dopamine center of our brain that can actually, you know, associated with pleasure, reward, and lust, that can actually make us feel quite euphoric. This, you know, that sometimes when you kiss somebody and you're like, oh, I feel so good, I'm walking on cloud 9, and then all of a sudden you can't stop thinking about this person. So a great kiss can actually almost get you hooked into a person. It can feel like you are floating on cloud nine. But a bad kiss, you know, can actually make it hard to pursue a relationship. And we could talk about why that is. You know, kiss someone, you have a bad kiss and you're like, no way, I'm out of here.
Oh, look, I know. My ex was a bad kisser and, you know, I prolonged the relationship because I really liked him, but the kissing was so bad. It got to the point where during intimate moments, no kissing because I didn't want it to ruin the rest of the experience.
Absolutely. And this is the thing as well, isn't it? A lot of us have been in a situation, or we might have seen it in movies, where the chemistry is electrifying and you literally feel like you cannot wait to kiss this person. And then once, you know, sparks and just, whew, it's like a explosion. And then you kiss that person and it's like everything just fizzles out and it's almost like you're kissing a friend or a sibling and you think, what on earth is this? And that's because, you know, when we kiss, there's an exchange of semiochemicals in the mouth because the sides of our, you know, the insides of our mouth are quite permeable and that reveals information about their genetics. So if somebody's immune system is quite close to yours, then often what will happen is, you know, it's our body's way, I guess, of telling us that maybe we're not that compatible. So sometimes we can end up kissing somebody and it can feel like no. But then also sometimes somebody's technique, you know, they swallow your whole face off or they, you know, their tongue is just, I don't know what, like literally
gold digging.
Fishing. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, what is this? And, you know, and also, you know, so everybody and people have different, you know, genders have different pre-wired preferences for kissing, but also each individual person has their own preferences for kissing. For some people, a passionate French kiss with lots of tongue is a total turn-on. For other people, too much saliva, and, you know, for women, particularly the beginning of a relationship, don't want too much saliva, studies show us. As this, as it progresses, the relationship progresses, they might want a little bit more, whereas men have a preference for more saliva than women. And so, you know, that can cause problems. But, you know, other people just aren't that comfortable with tongue for whatever reason. And so really the secret, I guess, to a good kiss is just to take it slow, build the anticipation, and have lots of variety and use their nonverbal communication to tell you what they like. So rather than just going in, you know, guns blazing, full on, which can be lovely, let's be honest, full on passionate kiss can be great, but maybe just, you know, be aware of how your partner is communicating with you. You know, if you feel them pulling back, then, you know.
Yeah, instead of reading the room, read the lips. Read the lips, read the nonverbal codes.
You know, and absolutely. And, you know, when we're not into a kiss, you can't fake it actually, because when we're attracted to somebody, there's an increase of blood in our lips. So our lips become quite warm and plump and our lips tend to, our jaw drops, if you like. So it can sort of, attraction can block the signal to the brain. So you get this little, you know, mouth open. And that's why in the movies you see the mouth opens when they're about to kiss, because it's like this automatic. And we'll see the torsos going in together, that orientated reflex where subconsciously your torsos draw together. Now, if somebody's lips are tightly, you know, pursed together and they're cold and hard and they're leaning back and they're like pushing, you know, obviously you're going, it's too much.
Enough. My head's exploding. There is so much. I didn't realize there was so much involved in the kiss. Look, I understood intent and body language, yes, but I didn't realize there was a whole hormonal side of everything and a chemistry side of everything. Wow.
And you know, researchers think that, you know, kissing plays an important part in mate selection because it does reveal information. And also, when we're up close and personal and kissing, we're getting information from all five of our senses, from our sense of touch, from the smell of their breath, from the health of their teeth, from the saliva, the smell, and also the chemicals released in their saliva, from, you know, the smell of their skin, from how they touch you, from how they kiss you. Like, all of these factors provide vital clues about the other person. And most of that is on a biological subconscious, you know, level. It's unconscious. We don't have, you know, we're not even aware that it's happening. But then, you know, there's other things. You can build attraction with somebody simply by, using those senses rather than going in, take it slow, you know.
Yeah.
Use the power of eye contact, you know, look at them, touch their face, caress their face. All of these things build anticipation. If you can vary the speed of your kissing and use touch, use eye contact, then you actually heighten attraction and you can make the other person also feel more connected to you. And, you know, you're taking, I like to describe kissing as the glue that binds, because when we're kissing somebody, you know, we're not thinking about other things generally. Sometimes we are, but maybe if you've been in a relationship for a while, I was like, oh God, here we go. But, you know, this is a time when they're just the two of you, and you can really just focus and very intently, very up close and personal in someone's face. By just pulling back slightly and taking the time to breathe them in, you can really build that connection and bond between you. And sometimes take these like vital little moments that we actually don't really get often with our partners because we're too busy and we just time, you know, life just goes by, doesn't it?
That's right.
And you know, increasing your kissing dose by just a small amount has been shown to increase relationship satisfaction, increase sexual satisfaction and attraction to your partner, decrease stress and conflict in a relationship, and also increase the health of your teeth and, you know, your overall health. So, hello, excuse me. This is like the perfect
remedy to anything.
Rescue. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I think. Pack her up, baby.
That's it. Start kissing. Especially now on National Kissing Day. Go and kiss. Well, with consent. Go and kiss anybody.
With consent.
With consent. That's a big thing.
Always with consent. Always with consent. But yes, you know, and if you've been in a relationship for a long time, you'll probably find that actually you're not really kissing anyone. And, you know, it's a shame because it will actually make you feel better. You know, it increases chemicals which make you feel happier, less stressed, less anxious, and it improves your relationship. So if you are no longer kissing your partner, at least like a 1 minute hello, goodbye, pash, if you like, a day. Come on, let's do it.
Yeah, you can fit a minute in. Come on, people, let's do it.
Yes, 1 minute. If you have a minute to watch Netflix, you've got a minute to have a little pash.
That's right, Netflix and pash. Go on, everyone.
Exactly. Hello. Yes. That's a new thing.
That's right. It can lead to Netflix and chill, of course. Now, Katia, what's one kissing to do and one kissing don't that you could impart your wisdom on for the listeners today?
I would say that the biggest kissing turnoff is actually bad breath, I have to say. So that's obviously number one. But also then just be active in the kiss, you know, be present.
Yes.
Because otherwise, what is the point? And people can feel when you're not into it. You can't pretend you're into a kiss because we feel it. It affects the, you know, temperature of your lips. It affects your body language. It affects how you interact. So just be, if you don't want to reciprocate, then don't kiss. You know, you don't have to if you don't want to. And the biggest do is actually just to vary it up and to, you know, to incorporate all of those five senses. So rather than always going straight in for the passionate kiss, actually take it slower and build the anticipation, because that is going to do wonders for all manner of things. That's all I'll say.
Katia, it has been a pleasure talking. We could talk kissing the whole hour, I'm sure. But thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for imparting your wisdom on this today, National Kissing Day.
Thank you for having me.
Yabba dabba doo! Troy Murphy, it's a Troy Murphy show. From the Southland Shire, we hope it's not too much of a disaster. Will he get through an entire show without offending someone? We are so open your with the Troy Murphy show. Have a yabba dabba doo time. A dabba doo time. You'll have a gay old time.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Whether you're growing older, rehabilitating, or living with a disability, help is always here at AdaCare. Our new showroom in Sylvania isn't the only reason people choose AdaCare. It's also the information you gain from a chat with our people. Stay informed about the latest equipment, streamlined procedures, and funding options available to you by calling 1300 133 120. Or visiting adacare.com.au. AdaCare is a registered NDIS provider, home care supplier and DVA specialist, and is a proud sponsor of 2SSR.
Would you like to be involved in your local not-for-profit radio station? Would you like to become a 2SSR volunteer with the opportunity to be a presenter, provide office support or help with community events? If you would like to be part of the 2SSR family, call us on 9545 1800 or go to our website 2SSR.com.au and click on membership to download the application form.
Keeping it smooth in the Shire for over 20 years. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Will Downey. Everything I miss at home. Gerald Albright. Brand new heavies. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Sunday, 6 p.m. for the drive home on FM 99.7.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
All right, we've had our fun at the front of the show. It's time to put our serious caps on for the back of the show. Now, if you've been living under a rock, you may not be aware, but a bill to alter the Constitution, the Australian Constitution, and enable an Indigenous voice to Parliament has passed Parliament ahead of Australia's first referendum in 24 years. The referendum aims to recognise Indigenous Australians in the Constitution by establishing an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voice, an independent advisory body. Now, the specific question on the ballot paper will ask us, the voters of Australia, if we approve or disapprove, yes or no, the proposed alteration. The referendum, which was proposed as part of the Uluru Statement from the Heart in 2017, will require a double majority to pass, meaning a majority of people in a majority of states to vote yes. But if a majority say no, it doesn't pass. Now, the exact details of how the voice will operate, we don't know. It will be determined by the Parliament if a yes vote wins. And of course, the date for the referendum, well, it's yet to be set, but it is expected to take place in the later quarter of the year. So good news, the vote is taking place. The bad news, well, straight out of the gate, the Yes campaign has had a bit of a stumble. Not only have we seen month-on-month decline of support in opinion polls, but in Parliament this week, Indigenous Australian Minister Linda Burney has seemingly tripped and stumbled when questioned by the opposition on what powers the body will have when it comes to its influence on government. Now, something that really caught my ear from Parliament was when Indigenous Australian Minister Linda Burney claimed in Parliament on the record that the voice will not, I repeat, will not want to change the date of Australia Day. Now, look, I know that's just a minor thing, the change of date. And you know, I'm not one of those people who think that the date must stay on January 26th. I'm flexible. My opinion is, however, that if it is moved, to be respectful, then respect is to be given in return. So whatever the date is changed to, it stays on the date and it stays a celebration for all Australians to celebrate what it means to be Australia and the great country we live in. Anyway, let's take a listen to what Indigenous Australians Minister Linda Burney said in Parliament about Australia Day and the voice.
I can tell you what the voice will not be giving advice on. It won't be giving advice on parking tickets. It won't be giving advice on changing Australia Day.
Order, members on my left.
It will not be giving advice on all of this, all of the ridiculous things that this side has come up with.
Bookmark that audio. And should the voice to Parliament pass the referendum and is established by the government, we'll come back and revisit that clip when one of, I guarantee you, I'll put money on it, one of the first things the Voice to Parliament does, well, around January 26 time, is to push the date. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. For me, the big thing here, as the Indigenous Australians Minister, this is, at the moment, the only thing that Linda Burney should be all over. Yet in Parliament, I don't know if you saw the clip, and we can't show video clips here on radio, but she's reading from her notes. Her voice was shaky and unsure. Now, I know that the referendum is just to see if Australians want an Aboriginal voice to Parliament, but this is where I think the whole thing is going to fail, especially when you have people like Thomas Mayo. Who is Thomas Mayo? Well, good question. Let me tell you, Thomas Mayo is a signatory to the Uluru Statement from the Heart, and he's also one of the authors of the Voice to Parliament Handbook. He was also standing alongside Albo when the referendum was announced. So he's kind of inaugural when it comes to this whole Voice to Parliament. He's a man who's been very vocal about what the Voice will be. And that is, and I quote, "The power of the Voice will allow Indigenous Australians to," and I quote, "punish politicians that ignore their advice." Let's take a listen to the clip that was published by the No Vote group Fair Australia that shows clips of Thomas Mayo being interviewed by the media and in videos that he has published himself and in speeches that he has made. And before I do press play, I will identify that I do understand the bias from Fair Australia in releasing this video. But it still is what Mayo has said in relation to The Voice, and considering that we don't know what The Voice will be, when you have people who are part of The Voice and are clearly working with the group who wrote the book on the proposed constitutional change and what The Voice will be, well, then questions need to be asked. Let's take a listen to that audio.
Thomas Mayo.
Thomas Mayo. Written a handbook called the Voice to Parliament Handbook. All the details you need.
Thomas Mayo is a signatory to the Uluru Statement from the Heart, but was also entrusted with the physical document.
Mayo is part of the referendum working group.
He spent 18 months travelling around Australia to garner support for an Indigenous voice to Parliament.
And I tell you what, we are sick of governments not listening to our voice. We are going to use the rule book of the nation to force them.
There is nothing more powerful than building a First Nations voice, a black institution, a black political force to be reckoned with.
Keep going until we change the system, until we tear down the institutions that harm our people.
And also to pay respects to the elders of the Communist Party, who I think, without a doubt, have played a very important role in our activism.
You know, this is the first step. It's a vital step. Pay the rent, for example. You know, how do we do that in a way that is transparent and that it actually sees reparations and compensation to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people?
The power in the voice is that it creates the ability for First Nations to go forth with coherent positions on what legislation needs to be created, what legislation needs to be amended, and punish politicians that ignore our advice.
So the voice, according to Thomas Mayo, who in that clip is said to be part of the referendum working group, says that the voice is not just a voice of advice to Parliament, but it appears that the voice will be used as a stepping stone to paying the rent, along with reparations and compensation. And I quote Thomas Mayo, "a force to be reckoned with." So is The Voice an independent advisory body that can advise the Parliament and government on matters that affect the lives of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people? Or is it a stepping stone for a cash grab? Of course, other Yes Vote campaigners have spoken in the media over the last few days, distancing themselves from Mayo, but have also mostly avoided answering the question about paying the rent, asserting that, well, it's unrelated to The Voice, which I don't know how they can say that it's unrelated to The Voice, considering even Albo has difficulty telling people what The Voice can and can't do. Here's a clip of Albo, our Prime Minister, on the project this week.
Albo, I think I'm more across the argument for The Voice, more than most people, because I work in this job, I'm consuming the news, but even I still don't really understand a lot of it. Do you get how confusing this is for most people?
Well, people will focus over coming months on this, but it's up to us to put forward the very clear arguments. This isn't something that's come from Canberra. This has come from Indigenous people themselves who had discussions with thousands of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Did he actually answer the question in that, or did he do typical political speak where they talk about everything but the question that was asked and then ramble on so everyone's confused and just looking forward to getting on to the next question? It's one of those tricks that politicians do, and then us here in the media, it's like, do we call them out on it or do we just move on? And, you know, the audience will know that they haven't actually answered the question without actually answering the question. And, of course, calling, anything coming from the red... So probably the yes, the no campaign, red herrings. Red herrings from the no voters. I guess this segment could be considered a red herring, according to our Prime Minister. We're just asking actual simple questions. I tell you what, though, if we've got the red herrings on the no side... The yes vote, they've got the name calling. I don't take too kindly to Albo calling no voters Chicken Littles and Linda Burney likening no voters to Trump supporters. Ugh, so much for being grown up about this. So we're sold on this voice as, we have been sold on this voice as something that will bring Australia together. Has it? Has it really? Look, I think this whole voice matter so far has been very, very divisive. In fact, almost 50-50 divisive or division across Australia as a whole. Unlike the same-sex marriage plebiscite, for most parts, were brought Australia together, this feels vastly different. Not that I don't think that the entire country don't agree on the same outcome. I think we all, without fail, everyone in Australia want all Aboriginal people to have better lives, to live longer, have better opportunities, education, health, everything. I just think that 50% of us don't like the vehicle of which Labor are trying to drive this through and to get us there. It's just not working. Like I've said before, I will probably vote no on this issue. And I'm not here to convince people to vote yes or no. I'm just here to present facts and what's going on in the media. And I am willing to vote yes. I want to vote yes. But I'm just going to need some serious convincing. And it hasn't come yet. Let's just hope that now the gates are open on this race to voting day, to use a sporting analogy, that the questions that people like myself and no voters, or people who are leaning more towards no, or who are on the fence, let's hope that these questions get answered so that this Indigenous voice to Parliament doesn't turn out to be the Trojan horse that it appears to be at the moment, when you have architects of the referendum working group, like Thomas Mayo, being quoted saying the things that he has come out saying about The Voice. But the biggest issue for me is that Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has asked us to vote yes in a referendum that changes our constitution, that is very hard to change back, based on trust. Vote yes and then trust the government to do the right thing when it comes to implementing The Voice. Now, even though Labor did say at the 2022 election that they aim to deliver on every promise and restore trust in politics. Keep going on about this trust thing, don't they? Trust in a government who are at the helm while this country is on the brink of a recession. And how about that cost of living crisis? Energy bills, food bills, interest rates, mortgages, rent. Should I go on? All going up. You want us to trust you? It's going to be a very, very long few months. And I don't plan on talking about this
every week on the show, just when something major happens. And considering that we're we're told that the vote will take place towards the end of the year, sometime around October, November or December, probably more around grand final time to do one final marketing push for the Yes campaign while everyone's watching the football, it's going to be a long, long battle. And of course, as always, with any topic discussed here on the show, I welcome open conversation and or debate should anyone like to agree or disagree with anything I have said on the program tonight. Just get in touch. You are listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Friday, Saturday, happy days. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, what a day. Tune your radio to The Troy Murphy Show. The Troy Murphy Show. Goodbye, gray sky. Hello, blue. The Troy Murphy Show, it is for you. Thursday nights from 6 p.m. and then online all week long. Friday, Saturday, happy days. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, what a day. Tune your radio to
Reading Writing Hotline is there to help adults who have difficulties with reading, writing or spelling. Their number is 1300 655 06.
1300 655 06.
Go on, take the plunge.
They say that a change is as good as a holiday. So if you're looking for a new hobby or experience, then please join me, Anne Warren, for the Art and Soul program. We'll look at what's happening around the Shire with a focus on the arts. You'll hear about the latest exhibitions, events, festivals, or perhaps a fun and interesting workshop. It's live, it's local, it's 2SSR Art and Soul every Tuesday between 12 and 2 p.m. right here on 2SSR 99.7 FM and streaming live around the world on 2SSR.com.au.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
With about 10 minutes left to go on this show, man, it goes fast. Let's file this next segment under. Let's take a look at some of the interesting news stories that broke this week that you should know about. Teal Independent Sophie Scamps plans to introduce a bill to ban influencers from promoting junk food and energy drinks on TikTok and Instagram. The proposed legislation aims to protect children from the influence of such ads on social media platforms. Dr. Scamps is particularly concerned about popular trends like mukbangs, where influencers are sponsored by fast food companies to consume large amounts of food on camera. The bill also seeks to restrict junk food ads on TV and radio between 6 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. The move has gained support from parents who are alarmed by the promotion of unhealthy products directed at children. It seems like influencers might have to find healthier ways to earn their bread and butter. Of course, that would be, you know, low-fat butter with multi-grain. Yeah. Or should I just say fruit and veggies? Also in news that broke this week, Netflix is unlikely to renew Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's multi-million dollar contract following the success of their show Harry and Meghan, as the streaming platform believes the lemon has been fully squeezed. That's a quote there from Netflix. Meghan also lost her $33 million deal with Spotify just after one podcast series in 27 months. lending one executive to brand the couple as effing grifters. Netflix executives reportedly feel that Megan is out of touch with economic realities and they live in their own bubble. Despite this, the Sussexes will fulfill their existing contractual obligations to Netflix, including an already filmed Invictus Games series featuring Harry. A teacher at Rye College in East Sussex received criticism after reprimanding a student for rejecting a classmate's claim of identifying as a cat. In a secretly recorded conversation, the teacher reprimanded the student, calling her perspective on binary gender despicable and very sad. Those are quotes there. The teacher threatened to report the student to a senior colleague, asserting the need for an educational conversation about equality, diversity, and inclusion. The incident sparked social media outrage and led to the school acknowledging the teacher's mishandling of the situation, vowing to prevent similar incidents in the future. Let's take a listen to some of the audio.
If you have a vagina, you're a girl. If you have a penis, you're a boy.
Yeah.
But cisgender is not necessarily the way to be. You are talking about the fact that cisgender is the norm, that you identify with the gender that of the sexual organ that you're born with, yeah, or you're with. That's, yeah, basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
Which is really despicable.
Even then, because you've got those genes.
How you identity.
Oh,
how you identify.
Yeah,
it's not an opinion.
Yes, it is.
Expressing this.
Yes,
school.
It is.
No, it's not. And if you don't like it, you need to go to a different school.
Let's revisit that. The students were reprimanded for rejecting a classmate's claim of identifying as a cat. A cat! You know, look, I'm all on board with the they and them to a degree. And of course, identifying a male, identifying as a woman, and a woman identifying as a man. I have no issue with people being transgender. But when did we go from tolerance of accepting diversity to tolerance of accepting nonsense? Nonsense to the point where we are denying reality. You can't be a cat. You're a human. What happened to the good old days when people who thought they were a cat or a dog or a horse or a chimpanzee, whatever you want to identify as from the world of nature, that ended you up in a white coat and stuck into a padded celled room. Good old days. Good old days. Anyway, back to this teacher. It seems like she may have used up all, I'll just say there just in case, their 9 lives in that conversation. Also in news that broke during the week, according to data from the Australian Bureau of Statistics, the consumption of meat pies in Australia has significantly declined in the past 2 years. During the COVID-19 lockdowns in 2020 to 2022, meat pie consumption experienced a surge in popularity. Yes, and even my waistline knows that. With Australians spending over $180 million on the iconic dish every 3 months. However, by 2022, pie consumption started a slow down. And by the end of the year, expenditure on meat pies has dropped to just above $100 million. It looks like the meat pies reign is crumbling. But let's not jump to conclusions and give it a fair chance of a tasty comeback. After all, the pie might just need a little extra filling to win back our hearts. Nestle has announced that it will discontinue one of Australia's most beloved candies, the Fantail. The chocolate-covered caramels, known for featuring movie star stories on the wrapper, has been a favourite for Australians for over a century. Now, declining sales and the need for significant upgrades to the manufacturing process has led to the decision. Now, the nostalgia associated with Fantails is acknowledged by the company, but the lack of consumer demand and difficulties in manufacturing the equipment make it unviable to continue production. How's this for news this week? The Grammy Awards have implemented a ban on entries created solely by artificial intelligence. You know, that AI stuff, stating that only human creators can be eligible for this prestigious music award. The Recording Academy's body of trustees made this decision, allowing AI-influenced work as long as they involved meaningful contributions from human creators in the music or the lyrics. Now, the music industry as a whole is currently grappling with how to incorporate AI into the creative process. And of course, this announcement comes shortly after a TikTok user's AI-generated collaboration, which imitated the voices of Drake and The Weeknd, gained significant popularity but was subsequently removed by Universal Music Group. Looks like the Grammy Awards are making it clear that AI is not ready to join the ranks of human achievements. New penalties are being introduced in New South Wales to combat the increasing rates of abuse against retail workers. Offenders could face up to 11 years in jail under new reforms. The legislation will criminalise assault, harassment, stalking, intimidation, and throwing objects at retail workers while on the job, even if no physical harm is caused. Offenders who physically harm employees could face up to 6 years in prison, while those causing grievous bodily harm could face up to 11 years. The move comes in response to a significant rise in threats and violence against retail workers, particularly during the COVID-19 pandemic. Finally, a jail sentence that matches the crime of tantrums in the checkout line. Watch out, Karens. Watch out. Hunter Biden, the son of US President Joe Biden, is expected to plead guilty to two misdemeanor tax crimes and admit to illegally possessing a gun while being a drug user. The plea agreement, reached after a five-year investigation, is likely to keep him out of jail. The charges carry a maximum penalty of a year in prison for each tax charge and 10 years for the gun charge. However, Biden, Hunter Biden, is also expected to agree to drug treatment and monitoring as part of the deal, which will probably keep him out of jail. The final agreement requires approval from the judge who would determine the sentence. All right, so fair enough that he's getting done for that stuff, but what about the rest of the crimes that he's been accused of? I don't know. I swear sometimes us white people get accused of white privilege. It's Democrat privilege in the US. They're going after, look, this is not meaning that I'm a Trump supporter in any way. I'm just pointing out the fairness between the two. You know, they go after Trump with all guns blazing. And Hunter Biden, who, if accused of some of the stuff he's been accused of, or convicted of some of the stuff he's been accused of, could actually bring down his dad, President US Joe Biden. I don't know. It just seems like it's, what did I say before? It's Democrat privilege. Democrat privilege indeed. The number of Australian households struggling to pay their electricity bill has increased by 50% in 1 year due to falling temperatures and rising prices. Origin Energy reported that over 70,000 families joined their hardship support program as they couldn't pay their bills on time, while competitor AGL reported 19,500 people on their hardship program. Energy Australia also provided assistance to a significant number of individuals. The rising debt and financial hardships faced by families have raised concerns about the profitability of energy companies at the expense of their customers' well-being. Charities like St. Vincent de Paul are witnessing an increase in the number of working families relying on their support. The article calls for a coordinated response from the energy industry, governments, and the energy market bodies to address the issue. And of course, the biggest story this week, the five individuals aboard the stranded Titan tourist submarine, which was descending to the site of the Titanic shipwreck, may be facing a grim fate. The US Coast Guard has revealed that Even if they locate the vessel, they may not be able to rescue the passengers, despite an extensive international search effort using advanced technology, including sonar buoys. No signs of the submarine have been found. Reports of tapping sounds in the area have given a glimmer of hope, but their source remains uncertain. The limited oxygen supply on board is expected to run out anytime soon, and I think it's at the time of broadcasting now is when the air is going to run out. Concerns are also being raised about the safety of the Titan submarine, as questions regarding its design and testing have been brought up in a previous lawsuit.
And it's all over, just like that.
That's it, the Troy Murphy Show, done and dusted for another week. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back next week from 7 p.m. for another edition of the Troy Murphy Show. Now, if you missed any part of the show or want to listen back to any of the ranting or raving from tonight's extravaganza, you can listen back on demand by clicking the Troy Murphy Show on the program guide that you can find on the turbolisa.com.au website, or subscribing to the podcast on Apple iTunes or Spotify. Until next week, bye for now.
2SR FM 99.7.